Jim was sitting in the lobby of Google's Building 44, Mountain View, California, surrounded by half a dozen others in various states of stupor. All were staring dumbly at the stupidest, most addictive TV show ever. It is Google's live search board, the ever-scrolling list of the search terms people are Googling at this very instant. Watching the board is like picking the lock to the world's diary, then wishing you hadn't. For one moment, the private desires and anxieties of someone in New Orleans, or Hyderabad, or Edinburgh, are broadcast to a select audience of voyeurs in Google lobbies, most of them 20 and 30-year-olds awaiting a job interview. Giant print Bibles. Overseeding. Tales of Fantasia. World's largest glacier. JavaScript. Man makeup. Purpose of education. Russian laws relating to archery. Jim knew the odds were stacked against him. Google was receiving 1 million job applications a year. It was estimated that only about 1 in 130 applications resulted in a job. By comparison, about 1 in 14 high school students applying to Harvard gets accepted. As at Harvard, Google employees must pass some tall hurdles. Jim's first interviewer was late and sweaty. He had biked to work. He started with some polite questions about Jim's work history. Jim eagerly explained his short career. The interviewer didn't look at him. He was tapping away at his laptop, taking notes. "The next question I'm going to ask," he said, "is a little unusual. You are shrunk to the height of a nickel and thrown into a blender. Your mass is reduced so that your density is the same as usual. The blades start moving in 60 seconds. What do you do?" The interviewer had looked up from his laptop and was grinning like a maniac with a new toy. "I would take the change in my pocket and throw it into the blender motor to jam it," Jim said. The interviewer's tapping resumed. "The inside of a blender is sealed," he countered, with the air of someone who had heard it all before. "If you could throw pocket change into the mechanism, then your smoothie would leak into it." "Right. I would take off my belt and shirt. Then I'd tear the shirt into strips to make a rope, with the belt, too, maybe. Then I'd tie my shoes to the end of the rope and use it like a lasso."
Furious key clicks.
"I don't mean a lasso," Jim plowed on. "What are those things Argentinian cowboys throw? It's like a weight at the end of a rope."
No answer.
Jim now felt his idea was lame, yet he was compelled to complete it. "I'd throw the weights over the top of the blender jar, then I'd climb out."
"The weights are just your shoes," the interviewer said. "How would they support your body's weight? You weigh more than your shoes do."
Jim didn't know. That wasn't the end of it. The interviewer had suddenly warmed to the topic. He began ticking off quibbles one by one. He wasn't sure whether Jim's shirt, shrunken with the rest of him, could be made into a rope that would be long enough to reach over the lip of a blender. Once Jim got to the top of the jar, if he got there, how would he get down again? Could he realistically make a rope in 60 seconds? Jim didn't see where a word like realistic came into play. It was as if Google had a shrinking ray and was planning to try it out next week.
"It was nice meeting you," the interviewer said, extending a still damp hand.
We live in an age of desperation. Never in living memory has the competition for job openings been more intense. Never have job interviews been tougher. This is the bitter fruit of the jobless recovery and the changing nature of work. For some job seekers, Google is the shining city on the hill. It's where the smartest people do the coolest things. Google regularly ranks at or near the top of Fortune's list of 100 best companies to work for. The Google Mountain View campus, the Googleplex, is a cornucopia of amenities for its presumably lucky employees. There are 11 gourmet restaurants serving free, organic, locally grown food, climbing walls and pools for swimming in place, mural-sized whiteboards for sharing spontaneous thoughts,
ping pong, foosball, and air hockey tables. Cutesy touches like red British phone booths and topiary dinosaurs. Google employees have access to coin-free laundry machines, free flu shots, foreign language lessons, car washes, and oil changes. There is shuttle service between home and work, $5,000 rebates for buying a hybrid, communal scooters for anyone's use on campus. New parents get $500 for takeout meals and 18 weeks leave to bond with their infant. Google pays the income tax on health benefits for same-sex domestic partners. All employees get an annual ski trip. The perks aren't necessarily about generosity, and unlike the workplace gains of previous generations, they haven't been negotiated by unions or individuals. It's good business for Google to offer such benefits in an industry so dependent on attracting the top talent.